Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a wonderful weekend.
As every weekend, we hope that.
Yes.
Always.
Always. Anyway, on with the show, I guess.
Yes.
So we do have more Twitter followers. This is getting fun.
Yeah.
So.
It always is.
Always is.
It's a good thing.
So we got Michael Smith of Poorly Summarized Podcast, which I've listened to a few episodes. So I'm going to try and listen to some more. Kind of a cool podcast. Talks about stuff that happened on social media for the week.
Oh, okay.
Then we have Wesley Robert Fagan.
Mm-hmm.
Philly Arrow.
I don't know. Oh, okay.
Wonder Road. Sarah Goldsmith. Paulo. Juan Mendez, Arizona State Representative.
And yes.
Pretty awesome guy. And God. LOL.
Very good. Hopefully you didn't blunder anyone's name.
Oh, I'm sure I did. It's what I do.
Yeah, you do have a habit of that, don't you?
Yeah, I'm quite good at it.
Yes, you are, actually.
Anyways.
Yes, dear.
We're going to get on with some stories.
Alrighty, then.
We have an update from last week.
We do.
Remember when I told you that the Archbishop of St. Louis...
Bishop?
Yeah, the Bishop of St. Louis said that the Catholic Church should not support the Girl Scouts because they don't do the Catholic
life. Right, yeah.
Well, that backfired.
It usually does sometimes, though.
So last week...
Okay, that made no sense. Usually does sometimes. Ignore that.
Whatever. Anyway.
Anyways, go. Sorry.
Last week, the Missouri Girl Scouts did part of their Girl Scout cookie sales.
Uh-huh.
And part of that fundraiser, they made $350,000.
Wow. $350,000. In donations?
Yeah, it was a record-breaking week.
Wow. So for that area, that's fantastic. And it just goes to show, you know, when you tend to say that to other people, they're totally going to retaliate in the opposite way you wanted them to.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
But they had the Girl Scouts of Eastern Missouri reports that it was a record at their annual fundraiser.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah, the dessert first event at Chase Park in St. Louis netted more than $350,000 from 500 guests.
Wow.
Said they also received an unusual number of requests from out-of-state residents to purchase cookies.
You're right.
And the
social
quote,
media.
Okay, I cannot say this woman's name. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're not even going to give it
Bar
a shot.
Barzakowski?
Where?
Barzakowski.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Barzakowski. That's what I'm going to call it as.
No. Okay, I'll go with what you said.
She said, this morning, in fact, we received calls from several local businesses offering to host cookie booths in their lobbies, and we've heard numerous stories of girls running out of particular flavors. As a result, we have put in a reorder to ensure Girl Scout cookies for everyone.
Really?
That is so awesome.
Well, I know we've been contributing. We've been doing our share.
Well.
And we still have other people we know that we need to buy from.
That is true.
So we don't seem to be having a hard time, you know, helping out as well.
That is true.
I think we've bought too many boxes, honestly.
Well, I don't care.
I know we still have some friends that we know that we said we would buy from them.
Yes,
so.
I know.
Yeah.
And those orders are coming.
Yeah. So I know the kids like it, so sure.
I know. Those Thin Mints
but that's
in the
good
fridge.
On them. I mean, it actually, honestly, it doesn't surprise me. It really doesn't.
I know.
In the results of that.
Yeah, any time that we see something like that, our community tends to rally around such stupidity.
Yeah, and I've noticed, and it comes with anything that is just similar to that. We definitely... Don't touch. We are definitely good at doing that. You know, everyone comes together, does stuff. Stop looking at me. I'm not getting any closer to this damn microphone.
Just talk to the microphone. That's all.
Anyways, move on.
All right. We have a very good story for you. Well, all right. I'm going to call it good because it's fun.
Okay, if you say so.
Mary Lou Brunner, the frontrunner.
Oh, this is the crazy lady, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mary Lou Brunner, the frontrunner for the GOP nomination to represent District 9 on the Texas Board of Education, has some interesting opinions on a variety of topics. She has said, evolution is, and this is quoting her, is a religious philosophy with propaganda supporting the religion of atheism.
Okay, now I have to say, you told me this earlier, and it took me a minute because I couldn't figure out the whole, what was it you said, the religious philosophy of evolution?
Mm-hmm.
I had a hard time with that, but then once you finally finished and everything, I'm like, oh, okay, that's what she... Because I'm like, where the hell do you get that?
And there's more.
Okay.
Don't worry.
So, okay.
She was in line for a Potter Award, but this is, she's no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, not until she's actually in power.
Whatever. Go.
And scientists have ignored the hidden evidence that humans and dinosaurs walked the planet at the same time.
Oh, this is her still...
Yes.
...mumbling on.
Yes, yes.
Okay, wait. Evidence? Hidden evidence?
Yeah, hidden evidence that...
The scientists have missed all the hidden evidence that we have out there to support the humans and dinosaurs walking together.
Yeah, we have footprints of them together. Didn't you know that?
Where the hell did she come up with these ideas?
I don't know, but I heard that pastor on the No Religion Required a couple weeks ago. Uh-huh. He said the exact same thing. And I was,
oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, footprints in bedrock? Yeah, sure. That's doable.
God, people are weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've got more that she said because she is insane.
Okay.
On dinosaurs. When the floodwaters subsided and rushed to the oceans, there was no vegetation on Earth because the Earth had been covered with water. The dinosaurs on Noah's Ark may have been babies, but not able to reproduce. After the flood, the few remaining behemoths and leviathans may have become extinct because there was not enough vegetation on the Earth for them to survive to reproductive age.
She's a quack.
Yeah. She believes there were literal dinosaurs on the literal ark.
There's so much there.
I don't even know where to go with that.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Wow, she takes the Noah story a step farther, I suppose.
Just one or two, yeah. I mean, that's just completely...
I like her. She went in depth, though, if you think about it, with the whole the baby scenario and not able to reproduce, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
She thought about this pretty hard, didn't she?
She did. I mean, that's just complete crazy.
Total.
Okay. And I have more that she says.
She's still talking.
We're not the end of her crazy.
Oh, she's still talking. Okay, fine.
She doesn't believe the overwhelming evidence in support of human-caused climate change.
Really?
Yeah, direct quote here. Climate change has nothing to do with weather or climate. It is...
Sorry.
It is all about system change from capitalism to socialism, communism. You heard it here first. Climate change is a socialist, communist plot.
Well, okay, I will call myself an amateur meteorologist because that's my passion is meteorology. I don't do it for a living, although I really wish I could go back and do that again. But I love how she says climate change doesn't have anything to do with weather.
Yes, nothing. Nothing whatsoever. You know what it does have to do with?
Uh-huh.
Karl Marx.
Wait, what?
That's what she said. The climate change hoax, in capital letters,
by
the way.
Of course, of course.
Was Karl Marx's idea. It took some time to condition the people so they would believe such a ridiculous hoax, in all caps again. Karl Marx. Yeah.
So, you should also inform the whole, you know, who Karl Marx
is. Karl Marx is the father of communism.
Right.
I'm not, you know, there's historians out there that'll tell me exactly who Karl Marx is. I know who he is, but it's not really my thing, so.
Man, this lady's got some ideas.
Yeah. So Karl Marx was, I don't know, like late 1800s. I don't know the dates, uh-huh. But a long time ago.
Right, right.
I know that he was instrumental in communism.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I have more. I'm not done.
Well, she's full of lunacy.
She also thinks that slavery was a minor issue in the Civil War.
Really now?
Yes.
Well, that's a new one.
She says that the historians were biased against the Southern states and rewrote the history books once everyone alive during the Civil War had died.
Wow. And what does this woman do again?
She's a teacher.
Oh, damn. Really?
Yeah. She's a retired teacher, and she wants to run for the Board of Education in
Texas. Oh, that's even worse. She wants to stay with education?
She wants to be the person who makes the textbooks.
Good. She's retired, you know, out of there. But, God, if she gets on the education board, there goes everything again.
Yeah.
She is nuts.
She also thinks there's no need for Black History Month, Mexican American History Month, or any other formally recognition of historical contributions of minorities.
Wow. She doesn't understand what America is, does she? The whole melting pot scenario?
No, she has no clue.
She didn't get that memo.
No. So, she also appears to back Donald Trump.
Well, there's a big surprise.
And his plan to ban Islam.
Another surprise.
Okay. Islam is not a religion. Islam is an inhumane, totalitarian political ideology with radical religious rules and laws and barbaric punishments for breaking the religious rules.
Wow. And she was a teacher?
She was a teacher.
This the one. Lady is cracked.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, fine.
She also thinks the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, is part of the United Nations Agenda 21 conspiracy to do away with 200 million people from the United States. Now, I'm not really big on conspiracy theories.
No, I know how you feel about that.
I've never heard of Agenda 21. This one's new to me.
Wow.
Is it close to Area 54? Or Area 51? Studio 54?
Studio 54, Area 51. Yeah. Get it right.
Either way. That's how conspiracy theory I am. A disco club is the same as the alien landing.
Sighting thing. Yeah.
Anyways. And last but not least, my favorite quote from her.
She's still going?
Oh my God, this woman is crazy. This is all from her Facebook, which she, by the way, deleted all these.
Oh, of course she did.
Anyways. But
the fact that she wants to go into a position that oversees a lot of... I can't think of the word I want to say. But she's going to influence a lot of people on what is decided
because
upon.
Because most of the United States textbooks... come from Texas.
Don't even remind me about that.
Anyway, my favorite quote from her, and this one I save for last. Obama has a soft spot for homosexuals because of the years he spent as a male prostitute in his 20s.
What?
That is how he paid for his drugs. He has admitted he was addicted to drugs when he was young, and he is sympathetic with homosexuals, but he hasn't come out of the closet about his own homosexual, bisexual background.
Oh, lady's funny. She doesn't mean to be, but she's funny.
Yeah. I mean...
Wow.
This woman is...
Out there?
Is...
Nuts.
I don't even know how to describe her. This is the ultimate in conspiracy theory.
Totally loco.
I mean, it's so conspiracy theory that I don't know anything about the conspiracy theory she's talking about.
That's how deep it is. It's her own little world and how she sees it.
I'm sure someone can tell me what Agenda 21 is. Maybe I'll ask Alec Jones. It's probably on his show somewhere.
Gosh, that woman. Wow. You know what's frightening is that you do get people like that out there. And they're genuine in how they think. And it's not a joke, it's not in their mind funny, although holy crap is it funny in mine, but they take it very seriously, and then they get in positions where they can make a lot of, you know, insight onto how things go with that kind of a mindset is really, really frightening.
It is. It's really scary.
Yeah. Oh.
If you're like me, you may have been a fan of shows like Ghost Hunters, Paranormal State, or Ghost Adventurers, but at some point you said to yourself that these shows are complete crap. They're superstition masquerading as science. But don't worry, I'm here to shed light on these shows and point out their flaws using skepticism, the scientific method, reason, logic, and a little bit of humor. This is Paranormal Skeptic Academy, and it can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, or at ParanormalSkepticAcademy.com.
Okay.
Anyways, we're going to do another story.
All right. We need to go.
Russian man on trial for no God comment on the internet.
Really? Yeah. I don't remember this one.
Viktor Krasnov was reported to police by two young men who objected to his language in the dispute on Russian social network something or other.
Okay.
It's VK.
Oh, yeah. Russian there's no word. Way in hell you can say that right. word.
In 2014. He was charged in Stavropol for having insulted the feelings of worshippers. Such insults were outlawed in 2013 after the Pussy Riot case in which two punk performers were jailed. So, and there is a Russian law that says 1 year in prison term in such cases, including a fine up to 300,000 rubles, or roughly $4,000. And 240 hours of forced labor. So basically, he got an argument online.
Right.
Told someone there is no God. They turned him in to the...
authorities.
To the worshiper feeling police.
Right. Yeah.
And now he may go to jail for a year.
For that kind of a sentence? I find that ridiculous.
I do too.
I mean, wait a minute. Wasn't Russia like... secular or something?
Okay, let's get this straight. It was not secular.
No, it's not the word I'm looking for.
Russia, okay, the Soviet Union, which is not Russia.
Yes, okay. That's true.
Soviet Union was an atheistic state.
Ah, that's
yeah. And
that's
it was enforced true. Atheism. Mm. And I know a guy who
enforcing
is...
Enforcing anything never turns out well.
I happen to work with a guy who is from that area. I forgot which country, but he was just south of the Russian country.
I don't know
the name of the country.
Don't look at
anyway,
me. I won't help you.
And he was in the military, and he's a Christian. Uh-huh. And there was persecution of Christians in the military.
Right.
He couldn't come out as a Christian. Now, that is actual persecution.
Right.
Because he would get sent off to some place in Siberia.
Well, and now it's like they're doing the total opposite.
Exactly.
And they're doing the same thing to this guy for the complete opposite thought.
And that's the problem. When you have such an extreme governmental regime that when it does swing back the other way, it's completely... It's like this pendulum effect.
I know. It's all or nothing. Totally this or totally that. It's like, why can't we meet in the middle and all get along?
Yeah, well, I don't think that's going to happen for a long time. Now, this comes at the same time that a court in Saudi Arabia sentenced a man to 10 years in prison and 2,000 lashes for expressing his atheism hundreds of times on social media.
He got 2,000 lashes?
Yeah. Raif Badawi got 1,000 lashes in 10
years. Oh, yes.
So this isn't Raif Badawi. They haven't released this guy's name that I could find.
Oh, okay.
But I remember a couple weeks ago we talked about the religious police in Saudi Arabia who's supposed to be hunting wizards. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, this is the same religious
police.
And
they're actually trained and, like, it's a whole class and everything for them.
So so their official job is to find atheists and apostates. Right? And that's what they did here.
Man, people are just getting stupider, I swear.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous that...
For words.
That they are so insecure in their own belief that someone can't say something about it.
And that's my point. They're only words. Is your God not that strong that he can't stand up to someone just saying words?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, and I say the same thing for, you know, the Christian belief here in America, because I hear the same thing. I'm thinking, well, you know, do you not have that strength in your God that you can handle someone just saying something?
Right.
I mean, it's not like they're physically doing anything to him. They're just saying, you know, hey, your God doesn't exist or, you know, something like that. And then they just, like, blow out of proportion.
Yeah, I know. That's ridiculous.
It really, I swear, are we going forward or backwards?
Both.
I know. It's like some places you can see the forwardness and then in others it's like, what the hell?
I know.
Anyways,
I'm going to move on.
Mm-hmm. You're not talking to somebody else around here, are you? You know, this is me. You remember me? George Bailey.
And this week we have something very interesting.
Do we now?
We have a Bailey Potter Award.
A Bailey Potter Award? Mm-hmm. Polar opposites?
Well, they're from the same story.
Same story, but opposite actions. How about that?
Yeah.
No? Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Juan Mendez, a state representative from Tempe, Arizona, who was first elected in 2012, made headlines in our community in 2013 when he delivered the first of two invocations honoring secular humanism. Mm-hmm. He's also encouraged others to do the same and been a champion of other atheist candidates, which is good because there's a couple other atheist candidates in Arizona.
Excellent. Right.
And as an invocator, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So now he is preparing to challenge Christian privilege in a new way.
Uh-huh.
He will lead secular studies classes in which he and whatever colleagues want to join him will discuss issues relevant to lawmakers from a non-religious viewpoint.
Well, that's good.
It will serve as an alternative to the two Bible studies already offered by the Christians in legislature.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Well, they're allowed to have Bible study.
Yeah. Well, then most definitely the other way.
Right. According to an email sent by Mendez to his Arizona legislators, it says, I would like to invite you to our monthly secular studies starting next week on Wednesday, March 2nd at 11 to 1230 in House Room 340. Come and join fellow legislators for an in-depth study on topics important to the work we're doing. This month's topic, the problem we all live with, desegregation in our public schools. We will listen to the prologue of an NPR from This American Life podcast, The Problem We All Live With, when we will have a discussion led by Sarah Blaine. Attached is a flower. Flyer.
A flower. Everyone will get a flower that comes. No.
So yeah, this is great. It's something that I think needs to be done in legislatures.
Absolutely.
And especially legislatures with open secular people.
Right, exactly.
Well, even without open secular people.
I was going to say, yeah, either or, it doesn't matter. It just needs to be.
Right. He's been a big, huge champion for secular rights anyway.
Which is needed, especially in a position like that.
Right.
And more of it, actually.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, on Thursday morning, which would have been what?
Oh, don't ask.
I don't know what date it was. Let me look it up. The 3rd, March 3rd.
Okay.
He gave another invocation.
Okay.
This is after he has been asking since the beginning of the session in January.
Right.
To give the opening invocation was routinely turned down. They were constantly telling him if the docket was full. There was no room to put you in.
Right.
So, and then suddenly, Thursday, he was told he could give the invocation.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
It always takes a while.
It does.
Because they do that.
Yeah. But here's the audio.
Thank you all. We're here today, as every day, to represent our pluralistic society, which I am grateful to again be included in. To represent that beauty of our multicultural state that reflects our diversity of color, of heritage, of religion, and lack thereof. Spanning across communities, both urban and rural, we are the same, yearning to better our lives, looking to better the lives of others. Let us embrace those that want to help our society grow. Let us accept each other for our differences. Let us work to help those we represent flourish. We need not tomorrow's promise of reward to do good deeds today. For some may seek the assistance of a higher power with hands in the air. There are those of us that are prepared to assist directly with our hands to the earth. Take these words to heart as we move this great state of Arizona forward. It was our responsibility to honor the Constitution and the secular equality it brings. And so shall it be. Thank you.
So there you go.
I like that. I like what it said, and I like the way he said it. It was very slow and you know, you were able to soak it in, which you might want to take a little note from that because you read too fast sometimes. Well,
my favorite part was this. Uh-huh. For some may seek the assistance of a higher power with hands in their air.
Right.
There are those of us that are prepared to assist directly with our hands to the earth.
Yeah, I really like
that
part.
That is my favorite part.
Yeah, I really caught that part. But yeah, I mean, everything he said was absolutely perfect. And the way that it was said was really, really good.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Bailey part of the award.
Oh, okay. So that's the first part.
Yeah, Juan Mendez is amazing. In fact, he followed us on Twitter.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
Juan Mendez from earlier.
Of course.
So that's
Thank you.
Great. But now we get to the Potter.
Mr. Potter.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
Well, this week's Potter Award is very interesting because it's directly related to Juan Mendez's invocation.
So that's how they tie together.
That is how they tie together.
I got it.
Majority Leader Steve Montenegro declared that Representative Mendez had violated House rules that require that each day's session begin with a, quote, prayer.
What?
That's because Mendez, an atheist, used the time to talk about a pluralistic society and didn't invoke Jesus.
Oh, hell.
And yeah, I have that audio, too.
Oh.
Well, let me finish what I'm saying.
All right.
Montenegro complained that it had left the House without a required prayer, so the House Speaker, David Gowan, called the Reverend Mark Mucklow, who was conveniently on the House floor, to fulfill the obligation.
I'm sorry, that's total BS.
Yeah. So he agreed with a lengthy prayer asking God to direct and lead lawmakers. And to put a point on what was missing before, he asked that it, and this is a quote from the invocation he gave, at least one voice today say, thank you, God bless you, and bless our families.
Wow, that's not a right stab right yeah. there.
So, I have the audio.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm going to warn you, it's preachy.
Surprise.
It's about 2.5 minutes long.
It's a long one.
So if you want to skip over that part, that's fine.
Knock yourself out.
But I'm going to play the audio.
All right.
At this time, I don't think that the second order of business under our house rules have been fulfilled. So I just ask that we fulfill that second point order that we have under our rules.
Point of order is well taken. Reverend Mucklow, will you lead us in prayer?
Will you pray with me? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, how precious it is to talk to you. How many lives, how many things have been done in the history of humanity because someone prayed. And Father, we thank you for the great privilege of prayer. Father, some have already been speaking to you early this morning and anticipate talking to you before they go to sleep tonight. And Father, we treasure this long-held tradition, freedom and of prayer. Of asking you, Father, coming to you and spilling our hearts out to you about the most trivial of things. And, Father, to bring to you the most grave things we face in our generation. God, I thank you. I thank you for this House of Representatives. I thank you for every man and woman here, placed here by their constituents in trust that they will do their very best work for Arizona. And Father, they deserve nothing less. And Lord, it's a difficult thing that these men and women are called to. I intercede for them, Lord. You only know, Father, all that transpires and all that happens on these hallowed grounds. And Father, we as the constituents of this great House of Representatives, we implore you, God, to direct them and to lead them in the difficult jobs they have to do. And Father, I don't know who's praying for their families, but Lord Jesus, I ask you to put a hedge of protection around these great men and women. Look after them, Lord. Protect them in the difficult work they have to do, often thankless, Lord. How few are those who stand in line to say thank you for the hard work, the long nights, the long days. Father, I want my voice to represent those who, while they may not be here often to say thank you, we appreciate greatly. Lord, we have a large debt to this House of Representatives and to the good, diligent work they do. And at least let one voice today say, thank you, God bless you and bless your families for the time you sacrifice and are away from them down here late at night. Father, give back to them that time. Multiply it back to them. Give them harmony and peace in their families. Father, may they draw close to you. And Father, may we all be grateful for the work they do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Turn that off. Okay, I started snoozing towards the end there, for sure.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, I'm thinking, okay, is this a house of government or is this a place of worship? Like, when did we get to church? Okay. I don't remember going there.
So, invocations are supposed to be kind of neutral.
This that was certainly wasn't neutral.
But neutral.
What a jerk.
So, here's the thing. It's almost like they planned this.
You think?
But that wasn't the end of it. Other representatives began to berate Mendez during the session. Let's start with Representative Rusty Bowers. He said he was upset about Mendez saying that while some look to a higher power, others help directly. How horrible.
Well,
he said Mendez was impugning not me, but in some small way, millions of people, women and men, that are part of the pluralistic society that use their faith and their belief in God. They allow to guide them in serving directly every day and all day.
Okay. So wait. So basically what he's saying is he got offended by the fact that you're saying don't just sit there and pray, actually physically do something
to
make
it
happen. And he got offended by it.
Right.
Whine, cry.
Okay. We got another one.
Fine.
Representative Kelly Townsend said she believes the First Amendment is important. Not everyone in this room is Christian or Mormon or Jewish. She continued, but I think it's important we respect each other. But she said Mendez was wrong in using the time for prayer for his invocation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a time to proselyze, even if you're proselyzing something that's not a religion. I personally took offense at some of the words that were said.
What? So, I took total offense to the whole thing the other guy said.
Well, that guy was completely proselytizing.
That's kind of what I'm bitching about right now. He was doing exactly that in neon paint.
I agree.
That's crap.
So we have another one.
Ugh.
Representative Warren Peterson said, we also know what it looks like when someone is desecrating or mocking someone else's beliefs.
Aw, we're hurt.
And he said, those who want to do that using his or her freedom of speech, they can, but not during time reserved for prayer.
Oh, bullshit. Oops. But they're in a freaking place of government. Okay, this is not church time. We're not sitting here and being preached at.
Well, For two and a half minutes, you were sitting there being preached at.
But that's my point. It shouldn't be happening. I mean, you're there to get business done, laws and stuff. And it's frustrating that...
I agree.
They're such hypocrites.
Yes, I know. So I got another one. One more.
Fine.
Representative Mark Fincham said that the time at the beginning of the session is set aside for prayer. He said, lawmakers have the right to say anything else they want, but only after the prayer. And this is a quote. I'm saddened and offended that a member of this body would knowingly disregard our call for prayer and our house rules. Lifting his, Fincham said that there needs to be a time for prayer, quote, lifting this body up to God that we speak of when we say our Pledge of Allegiance.
So they totally freaking ignore the First Amendment then.
Yeah, they do.
Because obviously they don't uphold the First Amendment.
No.
Because they're total hypocrites.
Someone finally got their turn, then it wasn't a Christian.
And it wasn't,
and they're pissed
their
off about
saying.
It.
Yeah, they didn't agree with it. Because apparently everything should be their way and their way only. Our belief is the only belief that's allowed. We're going to say you can come in and do this, but we're going to stomp all over it.
Yeah.
We're also going to have a guy ready because we kind of already have an idea how it's going to go. So we're going to have a guy on hand at that particular moment so that when you're done, we're going to throw him in, do his little prayer, and get the last word said.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was totally planned. I don't care what they say.
Well, here's something interesting that Tom Essel, our friend Tom.
Oh, uh-huh.
He's been on the show.
Right.
He dug this up, and we were talking about it last night.
Uh-huh.
He said both Fincham and Townsend spoke in favor of prayer a few weeks ago at the Phoenix City Council meeting about the prayer with the Satanic Temple. Remember we talked about that?
Yeah, vaguely, yeah.
So the Phoenix City Council had prayers, and then the Satanic Temple said, hey, we want to give our invocation.
Uh-huh.
And Phoenix City Council freaked out and said, no more prayers.
They always freak out when they show up. I love it.
So they said no more prayers.
Right.
I'll probably have an update on that next week because there's a new story brewing on that. But,
cool.
Yeah, both these two people who were so adamant about prayers at council meetings are now berating someone for giving an invocation.
Again, I'll because stick it's with not hypocrite.
And they were against the Satanic Temple prayer, too.
Right.
Because it's not their prayer.
It's not. And I'm sorry, I hear it time and time and time again when it comes to Christians that if it doesn't agree with what they stand for, everything is out the window.
I agree.
You know, they'll sit there and say what they want you to hear, but it's total, I almost said it again, BS, that that's not what they're planning on doing ever.
I know.
They're just going to give you ear service.
This is exactly, you know, this feels so much similar to what happened to me in Oak Harbor.
Because
remember, after I gave the Oak Harbor one.
Yep.
The invocation. The invocation.
Yep.
And that the very next meeting, the guy was like, oh, this is more like a real prayer. It kind of the feeling that I got out of his prayer.
They kind of stuck that in there just to make sure they get that jab in, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
This one for him was just...
It was a
immediate.
Jab. It was to his face jab.
Exactly. It's immediate. It's to his face. It's bold.
And they talk about...
And it's very prickish.
Yeah. They talk about respecting other people's
beliefs.
Oh,
belief, they don't.
And their absolute disrespect for his belief.
They are completely disrespectful because I'm just so tired. It's always the same thing over and over again. And they get on us about not being the good moral person.
Yeah.
And yet they're the nasty ones.
You know what this thing, it's a setup, obviously, right?
Yeah.
You know what it feels like?
Dude,
feels like when you're on the playground and there's a bully or a group of bullies and they're going to set up the poor kid, right? They're going to say, hey, why don't you come join the group and end up pouring blood on his head at the prom.
Wow.
You know, like Harry.
Yeah, no, I totally get that reference.
But
thank
you. That's kind of what it feels like. It's like we're going to draw you in and then we're going to make fun of you.
Uh-huh. That's an interesting reference, but sure.
Well, that's kind of what came to my head.
Well, I was listening to the kid playground, and then you threw in blood. I'm thinking a playground with children, and now there's blood in the story.
But, you know, that's kind of where it went.
Well, you kind of took elementary school to carry.
Yeah.
That's at least where it went in my head, what can I tell you?
Yeah, well, whatever.
But I get the idea. I get the point.
That's kind of what it feels like.
Right. And, it frustrates me so much, you know, that we get so much scrutiny just for being atheists.
I know.
And nastiness towards us and comments or looks or whatever when you're out and about with, say, a t-shirt on like you have.
I know.
And yet they're supposed to be the good ones.
I know.
And we're supposed to be such the horrible ones. And yet you almost never hear it that way. It's almost always the complete polar opposite.
I know.
When is it going to stop being like that? It's frustrating.
It's going to stop being like that when we get the majority. When we finally get the majority. Because if you look at all the times that this power struggle has happened, it wasn't until the people being ridiculed and persecuted got the majority is when it stopped. Because then it didn't necessarily turn around, right?
Okay.
So let's look at it with one of the previous stories, like the atheist, the Soviet Union, right?
Right.
So there was persecution. The problem is now they've gone the exact opposite direction.
Right. Uh-huh.
So, and that's what bothers me because I don't think if it went the other way that persecution would be there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to see it happen like that where it swings completely the opposite way because that's not helping.
Right. But what I'm saying is, and I see this a lot, is that, and I've actually made this comment to several Christians myself, and it's when we finally get the majority, we're going to treat you far better than you've treated us.
Absolutely.
And this is an example of it.
Yes, absolutely. I'm just getting frustrated.
All right, I think we're done with that.
I'm going to go finish my drink.
Okay.
Whatever.
And that's all the yakking we're going to have for you this week.
We still have to say goodbye.
Yeah,
we do. See everybody next week. I'm still going.
Okay. Secular Yakking is a proud member of the Secular Outreach Network. SUN is a group of skeptical, secular, and humanist content creators collaborating with the goal of creating high-quality entertainment, and just maybe, to do some good along the way. Find out more about the SUN and the other shows that make up the network at secularoutreach.com. We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Podbean patron page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.